So proudly we hailed.
My fellow Americans and my fellow patriots all across this great nation and all across this great globe. So the left is falling apart as we see the rebellion of the Cubans fighting against socialism and communism, and the left is completely silent. It's ironic, isn't it? Whenever you see images of Iran, whenever you see images of Venezuela, whenever you see images of any country, including Cuba, begging for freedom, fighting for freedom, the American flag stands tall in those countries. But yet here on the left, they burn our flag. So we know we are on the right side of history when we admire our flag so much and we love our freedom so much. And every other country apparently that lives under these Marxist, communistic, socialistic countries reject it. They reject it. And as the left continues to push this ideology, we continue to keep winning and winning and winning some more. Now, on a positive note, yesterday, Marco Rubio did stand up and he spoke about this issue that was going on in this country. And it was interesting enough to see what he had to say about this whole thing, which I'll get there too. I just want to remind everyone out there, remember when Barack Obama was taking pictures with Fidel Castro while watching a baseball game? I think you all remember, right? You all remember that? Well, yeah. Don't expect Joe Biden to do anything. He was vice president at the time. He was probably supportive of Barack Obama's policies with Cuba. As the dictators have ran this country for over 50 years, destroyed the Cuban people, their heritage, their lives. I mean, these people are starving. They get no help. And for anybody who on the left, because I got a nice little message on Instagram, somebody on the left saying, it's the sanctions that have occurred. Yeah, the sanctions are only with the United States, but they are trading still with other nations. The Red Cross has offered to give vaccines. They have refused to accept any vaccines. So do not blame this on America. This is always blamed on America. Everything that goes wrong in other countries are always blamed on America. It's humorous, it's ridiculous, and it's an embarrassment for anybody to even bring that up, okay? So it's just ignorance at its finest. But what can you expect when you're dealing with the left? Now, interesting, yesterday, something was said, and I'm trying to find it right now. It was set on the Ingram angle. Wow. Okay. So apparently, Apparently it's been deleted from Facebook. That's nice. Well, Laura Ingraham spoke about the election fraud that occurred and the results of Georgia. Okay? And, okay, here we go. Okay, so I want you guys to hear this clip because it's a short clip. It's a 7-second clip. But I believe it should give you guys hope. Without a doubt, Donald Trump won Georgia. It's inevitable. The left cannot continue to keep the charade of bullshit that they say that the election wasn't stolen. It was robbed completely and everyone knows it. And the truth is coming out and everyone's going to find out about it sooner or later.
Votes that separated Biden and Trump. Margo Cleveland, senior contributor to the Federalist, joins me now. Margo, votes that separated Biden and Trump. Margo Cleveland, senior contributor to the Federalist, joins me.
New evidence indicates that what separated Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump is enough to hand over the Georgia elections to none other than Donald J. Trump. Now, people keep attacking and saying, "Oh, why are we continuing this whole rigged election? Why do we continue with this?" Well, I'm gonna give you Tucker Carlson, which this is probably one of the most solid intros Tucker has ever given on election integrity, basically. Okay, and he opened up with this, and this is why so many people believe the election was rigged. And it goes straight to my whole point that no matter what the left continues to say, they're not gonna convince me that Donald Trump lost this election. He did not lose this election. And this guy is not suited to be in office. We're seeing it with everything that's happening in this world. It feels like the world is collapsing right before our eyes. The whole world, not just our country. Our country's in the shithole right now, but the rest of the world is following along. But things are soon to change.
Yesterday, an historian and podcaster called Daryl Cooper wrote a remarkable series of tweets in which he tried to explain why so many Trump voters believe the last election was rigged. Really smart, he crystallized it. We'd like to read some of it now. Quote, "Here are the facts, actual confirmed facts that shape the perspective of Trump voters. The FBI spied on the 2016 Trump campaign using evidence manufactured by the Clinton campaign. We now know that all involved knew it was fake from day one. The voters this was aimed at are Tea Party people, the type who give their kids a pocket constitution for their birthday and have founding fathers memes in their bios. The intel community spying on a presidential campaign using fake evidence, including forged documents, is a big deal to them. Trump supporters know the collusion case front and back. They went from worrying the collusion must be real to suspecting it might be fake to realizing it was a scam, and then watched as every institution, the intel agencies, the press, Congress, academia, gaslit them for another year. Worse, collusion was used to scare away good people from working in the Trump administration. They knew their entire lives would be investigated. Many quit because they were being bankrupted by legal fees. The DOJ, the press, and the government destroyed lives and actively subverted an elected administration. This is where people whose political identity was largely defined by a naive belief in what they learned in civics class began to see the outline of a regime that had crossed all institutional boundaries. That regime stepped out of the shadows to unite against an interloper, Donald Trump. A lot of Trump supporters understand this regime is not partisan. They know that the same institutions would have taken opposite sides if it was a Tulsi Gabbard versus Jeb Bush election. It's hard to describe to people on the left how shocking and disillusioning this was for conservatives, people who encourage their sons to enlist in the army and hate those who don't stand for the anthem. They could have managed the shock if it only involved the government. But the behavior of the corporate press is what really radicalized them. They hate journalists more than they hate any politician or government official because they feel most betrayed by them. The idea that the press is driven by ratings and sensationalism became untenable. If that were true, they'd be all over the Epstein story. But they're not. The corporate press is the propaganda arm of the regime. Nothing anyone says will ever make them unsee that, period. This is profoundly disorienting. Many Trump voters don't know for certain whether ballots were faked in November 2020, but they know for absolute certain that the press, the FBI, and the rest would lie to them if they were. They watched the press behave like animals for 4 years. Tens of millions of people will always see Brett Kavanaugh as a gang rapist based on nothing because of CNN. And CNN seems proud of that. CNN led a lynch mob against a high school kid. They cheered on a summer of riots. Republicans always claimed the media had liberal bias, but they still thought the press would admit the truth if they were cornered. Huh. It's a very different thing to watch the media invent stories out of whole cloth in order to destroy regular people's lives and spark mass violence. Time magazine has told us that during the 2020 riots, there were weekly conference calls involving, among others, leaders of the protests, the local officials who refused to stop them, and media people who framed them for political effect. In Ukraine, we call that a color revolution. Throughout the summer, Democratic governors took advantage of COVID to change voting procedures. It wasn't just the mail-in ballots. They lowered signature matching standards and a lot else. Then there was Hunter Biden's laptop. Big tech ran a full-on censorship campaign against a major newspaper to protect a political candidate. Period. Everyone knows it. All of the tech companies now admit it was a mistake, but the election's over, so who cares? It goes without saying that if the New York Times had Don Jr.'s laptop, which is full of pictures of him smoking crack and engaging in group sex with lots of lurid family drama, emails describing direct corruption, the New York Times would not have been banned. Think back. Stories about Trump being urinated on by Russian prostitutes and blackmailed by Putin were promoted as fact when the only evidence was a document paid for by his opposition and disavowed by its source. The New York Post was banned for reporting on true information. The reaction of Trump people to all of this was not, no fair. That's how they felt about, say, Romney's Binders of Women story in 2012. This is different. Now they see, correctly, that every institution is captured by people who will use any means to exclude them from the political process. And yet they still showed up in record numbers to vote. Trump got 13 million more votes than he did in 2016. He got 10 million more than Clinton got. As election night dragged on, his voters allowed themselves some hope. But when the four critical swing states, and only those states, went dark at midnight, they knew. Over the ensuing weeks, they got shuffled around by grifters and media scam artists selling them conspiracy theories. They latched on to one, then another increasingly absurd theory as they tried to put a concrete name on something very real. Media and tech did everything to make things worse. Everything about the election was strange, the changes to procedure, unprecedented mail-in voting, the delays, etc. But rather than admit that and make everything transparent, they banned discussion of it, even in direct messages. Everyone knows that, just as Don Jr.'s laptop would have been the story of the century. If everything about this election dispute was the same except the parties were reversed, suspicions about the outcome would have been taken very seriously. See 2016 for proof. They understand why courts refuse to take the election case. What judge will stick his neck out for Donald Trump, knowing that he'll be destroyed in the media as a violent mob burns down his house? It is a fact, according to Time magazine, that mass riots were planned in cities across the country if Trump won. Sure, they were protests, but they were planned by the same people as during the summer, and everyone knows what that would have meant. Judges have families, too. Forget the ballot conspiracies. It's a fact that governors used COVID to unconstitutionally alter election procedures, something the Constitution states that only legislatures can do, to help Biden make up for a massive enthusiasm gap by gaming the mail-in ballot system. They knew it was unconstitutional when they did it. It's right there in plain English, in the Constitution. But they also knew the cases wouldn't see court until after election. What judge is going to toss millions of ballots because a governor broke the rules? The threat of mass riots wasn't implied, it was direct. And he goes on. In the end, Daryl Cooper writes, not every theory about election fraud is true, but Trump's voters, quote, are absolutely right that their government is monopolized by a regime that believes they are beneath representation and will observe no limits to keep them getting it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most solid comment or introduction, which was written by somebody else on Twitter, that I have ever heard on why us, we the people, do not believe anything that is said to us by the government, by the media. I'm going to tell you one huge accomplishment that people do not realize that Donald Trump did accomplish. And this is a huge one. This one's big. Donald Trump managed to drain the swamp just enough to make sure that we can see the swamp creatures. He may not have drained it all the way, but he drained it just enough that we could see the creatures. And we're seeing it. Our biggest enemy is the mainstream media. That is our biggest enemy. That is by far the most dangerous group of individuals that exist on this planet. And that is what China, that is what Cuba, and all these other countries use. Propaganda, the media. They use it to their advantage to brainwash Americans. In this case, China and their Chinese people and Cuban people. But America's doing the same exact thing, only for the left. So what does this tell us? We need to fight back. We need to continue to fight, and we can't let this continue to happen. Because if we let this continue to happen, we will end up being a Cuba. Now, do I have faith in America? Absolutely, because you guys are listening to me right now as we speak. And people are fighting. And people are fighting back. And the truth is coming out, and the left is losing it. They're losing it. Now, as I've always said, I will be the voice of American people. We do have voicemails, and I want to get to them. All right, so let's listen to the first one. Let's go ahead and listen to the first one. Let's see what they've got to say.
Hi, I'm Clayton. I live in Idaho. Yeah, I was hoping for your tours. Let me come to like Boise or Nampa, Idaho, and probably been some of your friends. Yeah, I've been watching your show since July 5th. I really like how you stand out for us Republicans, and yeah, I just saw your June 12th episode. Like you said, a lot of us have to work. Like Republicans, they don't work and they just get money from their daddies and mommies. Yeah, so hey, thanks for everything. Bye.
Well, I'm glad that I'm reaching out to so many young conservatives. Thank you so much for the love and support. I greatly appreciate it. I try my very best to speak as much fact as humanly possible. I research, I prep before I do every single show. I look through it. I look through what's going on in this country, and I try to bring my own experiences onto it.
Hi, Jace. I'd like to remain anonymous, but I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, as well. I have family out in Cuba, and they were telling me about things going on during the pandemic. It's only getting worse. When we had family that had COVID, they were locked in their house, and there was guards present at the door. They were not allowed to leave. So if they did, they would be shot on sight. She barely had any food, so she had to call some other family. She's about 4 hours away. She had to spend her own money to get gas, to be able to get on the bus, and get all the way over there to bring over food for the family. That she was not allowed to leave her house no matter what. From last that we heard, we lost contact with her. Things are getting really bad out there. There's starting to be a lot of fighting. We don't know what's going on with her. We truly hope that she's okay. After she recovered, things got better for her. Thank God, thankfully. Other than that, the electricity is shut off every night. And they're still living off food coupons, limited amount. The main thing that they really have to eat is a plant called yuca.
Yuca.
She's so poor, and we try and give her whatever money we can. obviously, you know, it's a corrupt government out there. We're trying hard to bring her to Florida so that way she can come and live, but it's getting really hard. And she can't even fish. She can't even go out and hunt or fish or nothing because it all belongs to the government. So she's left there starving. And let's say if we send her, you know, $100, she only gets, if she's lucky, if she gets $50 back. Thankfully, it goes a long way for her. But yeah, if that were to happen here, and I hope that there's a huge revolt that goes on, and I hope the American people fight back as hard as they can against a government like that. Thank you.
First and foremost, I would like to send my deepest sympathies to you because I have family in Cuba as well. And I know what they're going through, and it's horrible. It's horrible. And I say this to anybody who listens to my show who's Cuban. It is time. It is time for the Cubans that have been waiting for that moment for their people to be freed to do something about it. Now, what they're going to do about it, I don't know. This is a horrible thing. I know exactly what yuca is because yuca's a... It's basically like a potato, a version of a potato. It's the lowest, it offers basically no nutrients whatsoever. And it's not the most tasteful food to eat. I mean, it's pretty much I'll give you an example. My grandfather was a slave for Fidel Castro when he was arrested because he was part of Batista's military. And that's what they fed him for lunch, dinner, and breakfast. So, you know that is probably not the healthiest food ever. Cuba right now is struggling. And this should show every American out there that socialism, communism does not work. It doesn't work. It only benefits those that are in power. Doesn't benefit anybody else. And this is sad. This is a sad moment when I feel like the Cubans in Cuba are actually more patriotic and love America more than the fucking left in this country. It's sad to say that. It really is. It's really sad to say that. But the left in this country, they speak as if they have experience on any of this, but they have none. They don't know anything about anything. They're lost. They're idiots. They're morons. And I like to think that this election was rigged because I like to think that there's not that many stupid Americans out there. Really. I mean, I hope this election was rigged because if not, we have a large amount of people that are dumb as shit. Voted against their own best interest. Voted against their own best interest. We're having issues all over this country that's just proving more and more. The voting machines, and this was the Washington Examiner, the voting machines across Pennsylvania County not accepting Republican ballots in local races. What's that all about? Same machines that were used during the presidential election. Then the Democrats left before they could do the anti-fraud bill. And guess what? Governor Abbott, he stepped up. And they're all, mind you, all of these people are so for COVID and vaccinations and all that, but every single one of them, none of them are wearing a mask on the plane. He says that they will be arrested for illegally leaving state to stop Republican anti-fraud voting bill. Again, Republicans are fighting back, but they need our backing. They can't do anything if the American people are not behind them. The American people always have to be behind them because if they're not, then it's an uphill battle. But they know they have the American support. They know they have the American people backing them. And that's why they're moving forward and they're pushing forward onward. We must continue to fight to make this country great again. Because it's not great. The reality is it was great. It's not. When you start seeing how much everything costs, when you start seeing people are struggling, people are... And let me tell you, Joe, Wrecking Ball Joe, let's put that music for him. I came in like a wrecking ball. you're not creating new jobs when people are opening back businesses that were already there. Those jobs were already there, buddy. You're just allowing them to open back their businesses. So again, I'm going to leave it with, first and foremost, if you guys want to show me any support, I would greatly appreciate it. If you guys can visit the RepublicanNationStore.com and find yourself some cool gear. If you email it to me at Jase, J-A-S-E, at the RepublicanNation.com, I will be sure to post it on the Instagram, Facebook. Don't forget to follow me on all major outlets, YouTube, Twitter. I will be doing the tour. The tour's just about, the wrap is just about done, ladies and gentlemen. So things are about to get real. And I'm going to speak to the people and I'm going to have conversation with people. And I'm hoping that my small self can change some people's minds. If I could change two minds, that's good enough for me. The tour was fine. But more importantly, I want to show all my patriots out there that I love you guys and that I'm willing to go visit you guys no matter where you're at, and that you've got other Republicans out there that love you equally. If you guys would like to leave a voicemail on the show, I have a dedicated phone line just for the Republican Nation. It goes straight to voicemail, so you don't have to worry about talking to anybody. You could stay anonymous like the gentleman from Texas. The number is 310-498-5463. I will put you on the air. I don't care what you have to say. I give everybody a voice. That is my goal. Or you can email me at Jase, J-A-S-E, at therepublicannation.com. That being said, I want you guys to listen to what Marco Rubio has to say about Marxism, socialism, and then we'll end the show with that. I have to pick up my daughter at school today, so I kind of have to end the show a little earlier than I normally end it, but I'm very proud of the Cuban people. I support them 100%. I think people in Miami, Cubans in Miami, need to step up, and they need to make some tough choices, but Cuba needs to be freed. And this should be set an example to all Americans across the United States that what the left is trying to promote will not work. AOC is not backing down, believe it or not. Even after they're seeing children being killed, men being choked, taken down by their own government for nonviolent protests where we had cities being burned here and a cop would just mace somebody and they were fired. But apparently it is okay. It is okay in the United States, in Cuba, for them to abuse and have humanitarian issues. And Cubans can never have their freedom because we have Joe Biden in office. Donald Trump already said what he had to say. And I will quote exactly what Donald Trump said. And Donald Trump would have had their back. Donald Trump said it crystal, crystal clear. And it was a beautiful thing that he said. Joe Biden must stand up to the communist regimen or history will remember. The Cuban people deserve freedom and human rights. They are not afraid. They are not afraid. Now, I will leave you with, by the way, another positive note. Mel Gibson's taking some heat in Hollywood because he saluted our great president, President Trump, in the UFC fight with McGregor. I fucking love it. It was amazing. But take a listen to what Marco Rubio had to say on the Senate floor. I thought it was very interesting and open, and it gives a big perspective on what people do not understand. Most people don't understand the whole situation in Cuba and what's happened in Cuba. I know the entire history of Cuba, like I know the history of the United States. My family's from there. I consider myself an American, but I am also from Cuba. My family is from Cuba, so I felt that I had to learn the history behind Cuba.
Images out of Cuba, really, really unprecedented. In 62 years of communist tyranny on the island of Cuba, we have never seen, there's never been what now is up to 40 cities in which people took to the streets organically, unorganized, grassroots, to ask for the end of that tyranny. And I think it's important for a lot of people that are new to the issue to sort of understand what that means and what it's all about. I think that the first lesson we need to take away from it is that Marxism, socialism, doesn't work. The way socialism, the way Marxism has always worked, the way it's always empowered itself, is it goes to a people and immediately divides them. It says, there is this oppressor class, And then there is this victim class and these evil oppressors and, you know, capitalists in the case of socialism or traditional Marxism, they oppress the victims. And what you have to do is you have to give us the power in government to put to take care of these oppressors, to go after these oppressors. And if you give us that power, we will deliver you security. We will protect you from the oppressors. They ask for security in exchange for freedom. That is always the price that socialism asks for, security. And what you wind up with is a country of people that hate each other, that are angry at each other. A significant portion of the people in the country have to leave, have to flee, go to jail, because they're the oppressor class. Their lives are destroyed. Their family lives are destroyed. But the socialism can't deliver the security. And when it can't deliver the security, you don't get your freedom back. And in fact, when you start to complain about that, that is when the repression comes. Well, that's what's happened in Cuba. Socialism and Marxism has done in Cuba what it has done everywhere in the world that it's been tried. It has failed. It has failed. They gave up their freedom, or they were told, give up your freedom in exchange for a world-class healthcare system. It's not a world-class healthcare system. In fact, it's a healthcare system that does not even have the ability to deal with COVID at its very basic level. That says, give up your freedom for economic security. What economic security? People are hungry, homes are crumbling, there is no economy, there is no real economy in Cuba. Give up your freedom and you'll have an education, free education for everybody. That education, number one, you're a doctor, you can drive a taxi cab in Cuba and make more money. Or number two, you get sent, forced to go overseas and work basically on slave wages, no pay, barely any pay at all. It's basically human trafficking, as our own Department of State found when it looked at the Cuban doctors program and how it's been abused. And so what's happened in Cuba is socialism has failed. It has to repress the people who complain about it. You don't get your freedom back. And like socialists always do, they have to find someone to blame. And who do they blame? Number one, they blame anybody in the country that doesn't agree with them. You're immediately a counter-revolutionary. You're immediately a pawn of the imperialists. And then, of course, they always blame the United States. The problem in Cuba for the regime is the people aren't falling for those lies anymore. They're not. The embargo, that's the first thing they blame. It's the embargo. The embargo's causing all this. Why aren't fishermen and farmers in Cuba allowed to fish or grow things and sell it to people? It's not the embargo that keeps them from doing that. It's the regime. Why can't Cubans own a small business? Why can't a Cuban do in Cuba what they can do in Miami, what they can do in Washington, what they do in countries all over the world? They can't do it in Cuba. They can't open a small business. That's not the embargo that keeps them from doing it. In fact, U.S. law allows us to trade and to do commerce with small businesses that are independently owned by Cubans. You know why Cubans can't own small businesses? It's not the embargo. It's not the U.S. It's the regime that doesn't allow it. People see these lies. How can they afford to build luxury, four-star, world-class hotels for tourists, but they cannot afford to deal with the crumbling homes that Cubans are living in, with roofs literally falling in over their head, with water leaking into operating rooms at hospitals? Look what they do with the money. Oh, it's because you don't allow more money to be sent. When an American or Cuban-American sends money to their family members in Cuba in the past through Western Union, the regime takes 10% off the top, and then they take those dollars you sent, they force the Cubans to convert it into a worthless Cuban currency, they keep the dollars, and then guess what? If you want to buy anything, you got to buy it from a government store, and guess what the government store sells things for? Dollars. That's not the embargo, that's the Cuban regime that does that. And who is it that's putting people in jail? Gets your head cracked open, gets your door kicked down in the middle of the night. There are 80 people missing today, at least 80 people. Disappeared overnight, their family doesn't know where they are. That's not the embargo, that's jailing people. That's the regime. And that's what I tell people. You can open up all you want. We can pass a bill here that says, open to Cuba, 100% open. You can do whatever you want, full free trade. You can do whatever you want. At the end of the day, the Cuban regime will control that opening. It's not just what we want to do, it's what they want to do. You want to do tourism? We tried that in 2015 when the Obama changes. And you know what they did? They said, thank you. We love the fact you're coming here as tourism. Guess what? All the tourist sites are owned by a holding company named Gaesa, controlled by the Cuban military. So everything comes through our hands. You want to send them food? That's great. Guess who gets it? Alimport, which is a government, military-owned agriculture company. You can't sell it to a small grocery store in Cuba or even a food wholesaler. It goes to the Cuban government. You want to send money? They take it. You know why? Because socialism is about control. And all of these things, tourism, food, money, medicine, it's all about control. You want humanitarian aid? Let's get Red Cross. Any of these vetted NGOs in the world should be allowed to go into Cuba. They won't allow it. A, because it's embarrassing to them. They have a world-class healthcare system. Why do they need humanitarian aid? But B, because they want to control it. Send them vaccines. But if you put it in their hands, the government, the regime, guess who gets the vaccines? The people who behave. First the regime elites, then the people who behave. If you're not behaving, if you're not going along with what they want you to do, you don't get a vaccine. They will use any opening as a tool, as a weapon against their people, because that's what socialism does. That's what these Marxists do in Cuba. They will use anything as a weapon against the people of Cuba. What can we do is what people want to know. Number one, I hope that we will all be clear about whose side we're on. You don't have to even agree with anything I've said. What you should agree with is that people everywhere in the world, including 90 miles from our shore, should be allowed to go into the street, peacefully march, call for an end to dictatorship, and not have their head cracked open. By the way, no one in Cuba has guns except the military. So why are these repressive forces walking around with these rifles and people getting shot? They're shooting people that literally are unarmed. Should be able to do that, and we should be clear. We should be clear in our language. We don't just condemn this tyranny. We condemn this communist, this Marxist, this socialist tyranny. Call it for what it is. Number two, we should make clear nothing's going to change. There's not going to be any sanctions changed as a result of this. On the contrary, I hope the Biden administration will now announce they have finished their review of Cuba policy and everything that's in place is staying in place. To the extent we change policy, number three, I hope we make it a top priority to allow the people of Cuba to have free, unfettered, and open internet access. And the technology exists to do that with a satellite-based system. We should put the best minds to work on getting that done, because if the Cuban people have free and unfettered access to the internet, the first thing the regime shut down yesterday was the internet. They can communicate with each other, and they can receive information and communicate with the world. It's 90 miles from our shores. We should be allowed to do that. Number four, for all of those who believe and have faith in the international community, and I still hold hope that one day it will work again, where's Spain? Where's the EU? Where are all these countries that for years have given cover and protection to the Cuban regime and condemned America? They should speak out clearly that what's happening there is wrong, that repression is wrong. We should rally that. We should use our position of strength and power in the world and our influence in diplomatic circles to make that happen. And number five, I hope the president will be very clear with the regime in Cuba that we will not tolerate them encouraging a mass migration event, because I'm warning you, this is what they do. They've done it twice already. Things get bad and they say, look, if you don't lift sanctions, if you don't go back to the Obama era policies, if you don't get rid of the embargo, it's inevitable. You're going to have 50,000 people take to the ocean and head towards the United States. They've used that against us twice. They did it in 94. They did it in 1980 with the Mario boat lift. And President Biden needs to be clear, whether it's through private channels or saying it publicly, be abundantly clear that we will treat the encouragement of mass migration towards the United States as a hostile action and act accordingly. That cannot be tolerated. I want to close with this. I recognize that most of the members of this chamber, most of the people here in Washington, and frankly, most of the people in the country, do not pay attention to Cuba on a daily basis. I get it. I really do. But if you're not following the issue of Cuba, you can be forgiven for not knowing that what we're seeing, what we saw yesterday, what we're seeing today, what's happened recently, none of this was started by politicians. Wasn't started by me. Wasn't started by anybody in Miami or in Florida. Wasn't started by any think tank in Washington. Wasn't even started by political activists inside of Cuba. You know who started what's happening in Cuba? Artists. Poets. Songwriters, writers, actors, musicians, they're the ones who started it. The San Ysidro movement. Because they came after them. And there's a song, a lot of people don't realize that there was a song that came out earlier this year. A song that, by the way, if you play in Cuba, you will go to jail. The song's name is Patria y Vida. Now, the slogan of the Cuban regime is Patria o Muerte, meaning fatherland or death. This song played on that. says patria y vida, which means fatherland and life, instead of fatherland or death. And the song is extraordinarily powerful because it was written by people and sang by people who have lived this reality and are living this reality. So powerful that, as I said, you'll go to jail in Cuba if you play it. And what the song basically says in its lyrics is, why can't people think different ways and not be treated as enemies? Why is life so good for party insiders and their families, but there's no food for average Cubans? There's no, seems to be no embargo for the Cuban regime and those and their family members. Why can you build luxury hotels while our homes are crumbling? Why do Cubans have to suffer the indignities? The indignities are simple things like not being able to bathe with soap, not being able to use deodorant, not having toothpaste. Why do they have to deal with these indignities? And who, the song also asks, who told the regime that Cuba belongs to them and only them? Shouldn't it belong to all 13 million Cubans? The chorus, I'll read first in English and then I'll translate it in Spanish, because it actually plays on the dominoes. Dominoes is a very popular game played by Cubans, played by everybody, but Cubans in particular. It's a big game there. The chorus reads, se acabó. Tu cinco nueve, yo doble dos. Ya se acabó. 60 años, trancado el dominó. And how it translates, it's basically, it says, it's over. You're 59, meaning 1959, the year the Castro took over, but I have double twos. And everyone knows that if, in the domino game, if at the end of the chain, both dominoes, no one has any dominoes left to put down, the game gets locked. And you count numbers, you count dots, you know, to see who won. So it says, it's over. You're 59, but I have double twos. It's over. 60 years with the domino game locked up for us. Now, I know this is a very colloquial Cuban way of expressing it, but this is incredibly powerful. People in Cuba understood what that means. And that means that all this ideology, all this stuff they talk about, all these lies of the regime work out really well for them. People don't believe it anymore, and they're not afraid anymore. Meanwhile, their lives are ruined. Young people in Cuba, artists in Cuba, who realize that the only country on this planet where Cubans are not successful is Cuba. And they're tired of it. And we should stand with them. Mr. President, I yield the floor.
Thank you so much, Marco Rubio, for those wise words. With that, I leave you guys. God bless you. God bless your families. And God bless this beautiful country we call America. Because there is other countries right now that need a lot of prayers.
It is time for our politicians to summon the bravery and determination of our American ancestors. It is time. It is time to plant our flag and to protect the greatest of this nation for citizens of every race, in every city, and every part of this glorious land. For the sake of our honor, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our union, we must protect and preserve our history, our heritage, and our great heroes is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. We will make America great again.